Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning.
Well, good morning. You have to forgive me if I'm a little out of breath. I was back there doing my hair, and so just takes a little while. It's really good to be with you this morning. It's good to worship the Lord. It's great to hear testimonies of what God has done. So great to be together this morning. And this morning, our plans have changed a bit from what you may have read in the bulletin. Spencer and Amy have both tested positive for COVID, and so they are home today. Libby and I have been in contact with them, and they're doing fine. They're hanging in there, I should say. And they send their greetings to you. And obviously, they're not the only ones who are sick right now or have some health concerns in our congregation. And so they would encourage you to, as you pray for them, certainly pray for all the folks in our church who are going through various trials. But instead of hearing Spencer preach from Hebrews 9 this morning, Dan and I are going to share some time up here in the pulpit in Luke chapter 2. You're going to get two messages this morning. I promise you they won't both be the same length as a normal one, so don't panic. I can't say exactly how long they'll be. That's Dan will decide how long it takes to get us out of here this morning. But please turn to Luke 2, verse 22. Luke 2, 22. We left off that Luke 2 Christmas narrative on Christmas Eve. If you were here, you'll remember that we walked through Luke chapter 2 and the Christmas story. And today we're going to continue from there. I'm going to examine the narrative about Simeon, and Dan is going to take Anna, or Anna, depending on your pronunciation. And it's really appropriate that we are here in this text today, the first Sunday after Christmas, because this is the first story in the Luke narrative about Jesus after the birth narrative. So it's an appropriate place to be today. So I'm going to read here in verses 22 to 35 in Luke chapter 2. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Real briefly, what's happening here, we're about 40 days after the birth of Jesus, and there's two ceremonies that happen according to the law of Moses. One has to do with a firstborn male. When a male child is born, the first one belongs to the Lord, and you're to offer a sacrifice in order to redeem him back into your family. That's what's happening, and there's also a ceremony for the purification of Mary after childbirth. So we're 40 days after Jesus' birth in the temple. What's more important to us today isn't so much what took them to the temple as to who they run into when they're there. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now, there's a lot we could say about this text this morning. There's so much here to digest and consider, meditate on. But we're not going to be exhaustive. I just want to look at this text by talking about four people this morning, talking about four people that we find in the text. The first one is, of course, Simeon. Simeon, and you notice how Luke describes him as righteous and devout. The word righteous has to do with being one who kept the law of God, lived a godly life, upright character. He had honorable relationships with other people. He's what we would call a good man, not just in worldly standards, but even in biblical standards. He was a good man. And Luke calls him devout. That means he was reverent, prayerful, conscientious. His personal life before God matched his outward life before others. He was a worshiper of the Lord. He sought to please the Lord. And you'll notice the next phrase Luke uses to describe him. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Let me rephrase that for you. He was filled with hope. You know, our theme for Advent has been hope for the hopeless. And Simeon was one who exemplified hope. He was waiting. He was watching. He was expectant. The consolation of Israel is just another phrase meaning the Messiah, the Christ. It was the Jewish belief that the Messiah would come during a time of suffering, during a time of oppression. And Simeon looked at the situation in Israel at the time, with Israel under Roman occupation, and with the spiritual standards of Israel, and the spiritual lethargy of Israel in the place where it was, and he set his hope on the coming of Christ. You know, when Jesus came to earth, so many of his own people missed his coming. But not Simeon. He wasn't going to miss the coming of Christ because he was waiting for the coming of Christ. He was looking for it. His eyes were peeled for the coming of Jesus, the coming of Christ. You know, Christmas, if you're like me, if you're like us, you decorate your house, you bake cookies, you buy gifts, you wrap presents, you play Christmas music, you do all of that stuff. How ironic would it be if you spent a month doing all of those things and then Christmas Day came and went and you missed it? What day? Was that yesterday? Yeah, it'd be crazy, right? No, you're preparing for it, you're expecting it, you're waiting for it, so you see it when it arrives, and that's how Simeon was. That's how Simeon was. He had set his hope on the coming of Christ, and so when it came, he saw it. But you know, this text really isn't about Simeon. Ultimately isn't about Simeon. He was righteous and devout, but Luke isn't writing this so that we'd all walk away and say, man, what a great guy. The name Simeon is actually a really, really common one in New Testament times. It's the same as the name Simon. Simeon is the Hebrew and Simon is the Greek. It's the same name. And there were lots of Simons. Very, very common. And it's really appropriate that Simeon has a very common name because after this narrative, he disappears. We don't know anything about him beforehand, and we don't know anything about him afterwards. He just sort of appears, and I think Luke is using Simeon to get us to see something greater in the text. The bigger character here in the text, bigger than Simeon, is the one who is named three times in three verses. And that's the Holy Spirit. Look again at the text in verse 25. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit. Now, your ninth grade English teacher would probably put red marks right there. Three times in a row, you use some pronouns, right? Luke really doesn't care about your ninth grade English teacher. He knows exactly what he's doing. The Holy Spirit. He's trying to point us away from Simeon to the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who produced this righteousness and devotion in Simeon's life. It was the Holy Spirit who gave Simeon hope for the future, made him look for the Messiah. It was the Holy Spirit who revealed to him, probably through a prophet, maybe even through Anna, that we'll see in a little bit, who revealed to him that he would see the Christ before he dies. It was the Holy Spirit who brought him into the temple on that particular day, at that particular time, to cross paths with Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And it was the Holy Spirit who gave Simeon the words that he spoke there in verses 29 to 32. In those verses, Simeon reaches back to what he knows that the Old Testament said about the Messiah and regurgitates that. Simeon was devout. Remember, we saw that. And so when the time came, the Holy Spirit brings to mind the scriptures that Simeon had read and probably memorized about the Messiah. And that's what you have in those verses, 29 to 32. And anytime the Holy Spirit's at work, you can mark this down, anytime the Holy Spirit is at work, he always points God's people to Christ, always. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, pointing people to Christ. That's what he does. And that's our third person in the text here, is Christ. It's about Jesus. This text is about Jesus. Of course, we know the whole Bible is ultimately about Jesus, right? But it's also the case that this text specifically is meant to point us to Jesus. What does it show us about Jesus? Well, look at verse 26, the Lord's Christ. It shows us that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised king who would deliver Israel from her enemies, the ruler to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It shows us that he is salvation. Look at verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation. Christ is our life and our salvation. He's the Savior of the world. No man comes to the Father except through him. But everyone who does come to him receives eternal life. The Holy Spirit shows us that he's the Redeemer of all men. The Redeemer of all men, verse 31. The presence of all peoples, verse 32. Gentiles, Jews. He came to save people from every tribe and tongue and nation and skin color and socioeconomic background. The Savior of all men. Verse 34, the Holy Spirit shows us that Jesus is the judge. He was appointed for the rise and fall of many. Many will rise to know God and be in God's presence through Christ. Many will fall and be cast away from God's presence because of the rejection of Christ. The Holy Spirit shows us that it was Jesus' mission to suffer. Verse 34, he'd be a sign that is opposed. Verse 35, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Mary, you're going to see your own son crucified. He'll be rejected by his own people, and he'll die for sinners. This is the gospel in miniature right here in Luke chapter 2. The Holy Spirit, through Simeon, revealing Jesus, who he was and what he would do. And that leads us this morning to the fourth person for us to discuss. It's not in the text, but the text comes to this person, and that person is you. You. Where are you in relationship to Christ? Where are you in relationship to this Jesus? Do you know him? Can you say with Simeon that your eyes have seen God's salvation? Are you as certain as Simeon is that Jesus is the Christ, the long-awaited one, the prophets had foretold? Do you know him? And if you do, what has that changed for you? You know, once Simeon had found the Messiah, he was content. He was complete, right? He was happy. He was ready to die in peace because he was able to see and recognize and believe in the Messiah. The first words Simeon said once he had Jesus in his hands, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. He was ready to see the Lord. What would you need in order to say, now you're letting your servant depart in peace? What would that be? That's just a kind of a fancy way of asking, what is your true source of contentment? For Simeon, having seen the Savior, he had seen everything he needed. Maybe that's even Simeon's secret to being righteous and devout. He was that way because he was waiting for the Messiah. You know, Scripture teaches that, right? 1 John chapter 3, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. If Christ is your greatest treasure, like it was for Simeon, your life will be different. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So if you want 2022 to be the year of greatest spiritual growth for you, if you want to grow in character and devotion. Find those places in your life where if you were to say, give me this, and then I'll be content. Find those, identify those. Give me more money, and I'll be content. Give me better health, and I'll be content. Give me a family, or give me a better family, or give me a better job, or a more loving spouse. Give me better politicians, and I'll be content. And then take those and replace them with this. By the power of the Spirit, may my treasure be in Christ, and in treasuring Christ, may I be content. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be a people whose greatest treasure isn't found in this world, but is found in your Son. Lord, we long for your Spirit to work in us because we know that when your Spirit is at work, Christ will be more glorious and more beautiful to us than anything in this world. So do this work in us and for us, we pray, for the glory of Christ. Amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you for listening.